Ladies and gentlemen, good morning or good afternoon. Welcome to the publication of the Annual Report 2017 conference call and live webcast. I'm Moira, the Chorus Call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Frans Eulen, Chairman of the Board of Directors of Valora. You will now be joined into the conference room. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Valora, I would like to welcome you to today's analysts and investor conference. Those of you who were attending our Investor Day mid-September after the acquisition of Bachwerk maybe remember that at that time I stood in front of you and I said, after 5 months of presidency of Valora, that I'm a happy and proud chairman. And today, 5 months after that, after 10 months of presidency, I stand again in front of you and I repeat that I'm still a proud and happy chairman of the board of Valora. Yes, we can present you today successful, promising figures. We are convinced that we have a solid base to continue our positive development. But mainly I'm proud and happy because today, again, we deliver what we promise. I mean, since Michael and Tobias are on board, they always delivered what they promised. In a nutshell, that means we have reached an EBIT of 79 million euros, which is in line with the guidance. If we adjust the EBIT by the acquisition of Bachwerk, the acquisition costs, and the 2-month EBIT result, we are even at the upper end of the guidance. And with the adjusted EBIT, we would reach an EBIT margin of 4%. So the EBIT margin of 4% and the gross profit of 42%, we are already achieving the midterm profitability when it comes to gross profit and EBIT margins 1 year ahead of our guidance. When it comes to food service, we have a strong top-line growth on the B2B and B2C side. Obviously, in the last fiscal year, the acquisition of Bachwerk and Pretzel Baron are two key milestones. We are always saying that we want to continue to be as much as possible vertically integrated, and these two acquisitions, plus the announcement that we will further invest in the capacity expansion in Germany and in the U.S., underline the strategy to control as much as possible of our value chain. When it comes to retail, we have a strong increase in the profitability, mainly in Switzerland, in absolute and relative terms, and also the ROCE. Various efficiency initiatives start to pay off, and we all know retail is constant test changing, and these new concept developments are advancing very well. Not to bother you too long, because Tobias will give you far more details about the different figures. As I said, the EBIT reached 79 million Swiss francs, which is almost 7 million above last year. The gross profit is 42%, 0.5% above last year. The EBIT margin is 3.8%, including or adjusted by the Bachwerk acquisition, 4%. So that means that in the last 3 years, we have doubled the EBIT margin. We are in a very competitive retail environment. I'm familiar with many retail sectors. To double the EBIT margins in the last 3 years is quite an achievement. The ROCE is 0.3% above last year, 8.6%. The free cash flow reached 82 million, which is $8.5 million about last year, and the leverage ratio is 1.7 times. That's all from my side to give you a nutshell about the figures. I'm pleased now to hand over first to Tobias, who will give you far more details about the numbers, and then Michael will present you our clear strategy and our main strategic initiatives. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Franz. Ladies and gentlemen, I already passed my welcome to most of you, to the ones I haven't shaken hands. Thank you very much for being here and for your interest. It's my pleasure again to give you the overview of a good set of figure and, as I think as well, a good outlook for the coming couple of years. I roughly will talk for half an hour prior to handing over to Michael and starting with the financial review. A number of key figures. Most of them I will talk again in more detail a bit later on. So let me just pick out a couple of these, starting with the external sales. Always more going forward, you will hear us talking about system sales, system profitability, meaning that we're really looking at our system in a comprehensive way, both in the revenues that our franchise partners, agency partner make, and the profitability they take, and our own revenues. And if we look at that system in terms of turnover, how much we do sales with these various partners, we stand last year at almost 2.6 billion. If we annualize mentally the acquisition of Backwerk, we are a company that generates 3 billion of turnovers with roughly 15,000 people that are active in our network. I think that shows we have a size, we have a breadth of formats of employees, which makes us a relevant retail company and production company in our field. Net revenue stands well above 2 billion, and again, with the annualized figure next year, we'll stay above that. We'll come back to the GP figures, EBIT figures, etc. Let me already highlight CapEx, where we're glad that we passed again above 50 million. Last year, we stayed below. I'm happy that we spent more money, invested in more than 50% of that in innovation and expansion. And on the ROCE side, I'll come back as well. But the figures on here already show 20%,  30%, 15%. These are figures in terms of return on capital, of which we can be proud of and which are an excellent basis for further growth. However, it all starts with our network. That's where the money is made. That's where our employees meet the client on a daily basis. And I think this breadth and this density of network is shown very well with that figure down here. 2,800 points of sale, mainly in the DACH region, newly as well in the Netherlands. That's a density of POS, which is almost unique in these markets. An increase of over 300 points due to the acquisition of Backwerk with 345, but as well a slight contraction in some other formats, like on the kiosk side and the SSTB, which is sometimes wanted, sometimes not, but most of the time wanted, and as well was helping further increase the overall profitability. The other reason we show that chart at the beginning is again to exemplify the transition of the group. We started as a conglomerate some years ago, you remember, and as well a company which was directing everything centrally, having full control over every POS. That changed dramatically. 2011, only 11% of our POS were agencies or franchised. By now, being larger, we have 70%, which is an entrepreneurial operating model where the people at the POS have more freedom, can have more say on the assortment, on the opening hours, on the staff that is needed. And we're convinced that that is one of the key drivers for our success over the past years, but as well going forward. We've always said ROCE, free cash flow, two of our main metrics to decide whether we or to evaluate whether we are on the right path going forward. And I think the figures this year again show very nicely that we've been pulling the right strings. Coming from already a sound 8.2% ROCE for the group, we increase it by 0.3 percentage point to 8.6. Without the goodwill, we would stand at 16%. And that shows we have a very sound operating model. And if we manage to further grow the business organically, automatically the ROCE as the capital bound with the goodwill stays constant, ROCE should increase correspondingly. So that is a very sound level. On top, we're getting to 9% if we adjust for Naville, the building that we sold last year, and Backwerk. Without these special effects, standing at 9%, we're really creating value. Our capital costs are much lower than that. Small look at the divisions. Retail, an incredible increase to almost 20%, with Switzerland standing at 27%. Germany, slightly lower because of high capital investment we made into e-smoke, new press, etc. That's why only at 10%, but I think with a sound basis for further growth. And on the food service side, a figure where we're not happy with at that stage, 5.9%, 6% ROCE for the food service division, without the goodwill, standing at 15%. So again, exemplifying what I said before, a sound business where we led the basis for growth. And as I'll show you in the next coming minutes, I think we had a very good trajectory on top line and GP growth with impact on the bottom line coming over the coming months and years. Net revenue. What I think is remarkable in the entire set of figures, if you look at the surface, very little has changed. There's very small impact, 0.9 here, 3% growth, but the bottom line impact is relevant. And I think how many moving parts we had below are not shown in these plus 0.9%. But let me maybe show you how that chart is built up, because that's exactly how we'll have it as well for the coming pages. We start with 2016, however, adjusted then for the sale of Naville Distribution, in that case, 38 million of turnover, which gives us the adjusted base 16. And out of that, we've then built up the growth to 2017, leading here to 1% of growth to the almost 2.1 billion or 2.1 billion that we've shown. Not spending too much time here, but we have two tales or two different stories here. One is Retail Switzerland, which continued to contract slightly, 3.4%, with a closure of 21 POS, but as well as same store index contracting by 2%. And on the other side, Retail Germany, with more own stores, more revenues, a stable same store development, especially compensating decline in press with more food, more services, and more tobacco. And then, and that is extremely relevant going forward, very strong set of figures on the food service side, plus 9% in local currency, stemming from a positive same store index in Switzerland. And within that, especially coming from Brezelkönig, so extremely strong contribution from a good profitability bringer. Ditch as well on the B2C side, 1.5% same store coming already from a high basis. Then the production, 3.7% growth, and that despite us exchanging a production line during the year and working at full capacity for most of the year. So from a very high level, added a bit, and with the new capacity we're having already now and the one we'll add, you're bound to see more positive development here. Finally, also not to be not mentioned here, Backwerk, of course, contributed as well for 2 months in the year, only 2 months of figures reflected in here. Gross profit, 0.9% net revenue development translates here in 3% GP development. I think that is part of our story. We are changing the mix of the products, replacing lower value products with higher GP products for us. And that is, of course, the big categories, tobacco, press, etc., replaced by food. But even within food, we're replacing confectionery, ready sandwiches with fresh sandwiches, with beverages, coffee, etc. And within this segment as well, the margin is much higher, and that is translated on here. As well, we've done a great job again on the promotional side. I think our supplier recognized the value of our network, and that also contributed to that positive development. 872 million, that translates in a margin of 42%. And with that, as Franz already mentioned, we've achieved the goal of 42% that we set ourselves for 2018 originally. And that's why at the end of that presentation, of my presentation, we'll as well communicate new midterm goals. Looking at it into more detail, Retail Switzerland, great increase in GP margin by 0.5 percentage point. Germany, stable, but a profit in absolute terms with an increase of almost 5%. And food service, an increase of 10%, driven by better revenues and Backwerk. However, has been slowed down by the extremely high prices for butter and cheese, which impacted our production and as well our B2C side in Germany and Switzerland. That has an impact of 3 million compared to the previous year. Now, that will not go down to zero because the prices stay high, but we definitely expect some easing of that in 2018. But in 2017, we had a 3 million negative effect here. GP margin increased, however, as well here. But that is mostly due to Backwerk. If I discount Backwerk and also discount the price increases on the raw material side I just mentioned, GP margin as well would have increased by almost 1 percentage point. And that shows that as well on that segment, food service, we're working on our product mix. Operating costs, an increase of 2% driven by expansion activities and Backwerk. The cost ratio has deteriorated slightly by 0.4 percentage point, and that is solely driven by Backwerk. And that's maybe something to quickly reflect on. Backwerk is a franchise company, but therefore net revenue is almost equal GP. And from that, even if you have low cost, the percentage, of course, will be higher, and therefore adding franchise companies increases your cost ratio, even though the EBIT percentage and EBITDA percentage we mentioned is, of course, very attractive. So plus 2% increase in cost, lower than GP, and therefore our overall profitability, as we'll see in a minute, has improved. Out of all the operating costs, a lot is driven by higher volumes, etc. But the one really to mention is Switzerland. A decrease of cost by 24 million to a cost ratio that improved by 0.7 percentage point. And there we're really earning the fruits of what we've been working on over the last couple of years. The efficiency initiatives, the cost reduction we factored in, and that definitely contributed to that lower figures. However, as well, the book gain of 3 million from the Naville building that we sold. Germany stayed constant. Food service had higher cost, 12%, mainly because of variable cost production and 2 months of Backwerk. We had, however, as well here, some special effects. 1 million because of the replacement of the production line that was not activated in the CapEx, but is here in the OpEx. And then as well, the integration cost of Pretzel Baron with 500,000. So on top of the 3 million higher raw material, 1.5 million coming from special costs we were having on the food service side. Corporate is high as well, includes, however, the acquisition cost for Backwerk. And without that, the cost ratio here as well would have improved. Already summing that part up of the P&L, we're coming to the EBIT level, 79 million, a margin of 3.8%. Adjusting for Backwerk cost, which is a net negative contributor in 2017, we would be at not only the higher end of the margin of the range with 82 million, but as well 4% EBIT margin, and therefore, again here, reaching the midterm targets ahead of time. An increase of 16% year-on-year from 68 million to 79 million, 11 million growth, I think for a retailer in our segment, a very nice appreciation of our results over one year. And we've adjusted here Naville Distribution. We had some special effects in here, the cost of Backwerk for roughly 3 million, and the book gain of La Praille, and basically they compensate each other. And therefore, this 15% increase really can be seen, adjusted for all that you want, as organic improvement of the business. And that, again, stemming mostly from retail Switzerland, as we see on that detail page. An increase of 14 million, and even without the gain of La Praille, we have an increase of roughly 11 million, again, for the reason I mentioned, coming to an EBIT margin of 4%. Germany said positively, we laid the ground for future growth. We have a good turnover and GP development. We're hoping, planning that for the coming years, we've laid the ground for as well an EBIT profitability increase. Food service, slightly lower than last year, 26 million. If I adjust for the effects I mentioned, roughly 5 million, we would have a clear improvement compared to last year, roughly 5 million increase. And I think that shows these are all effects which will ease our one-off. We have and continue to have a very nice net revenue and GP development, and with that, we're very confident that a lot of the improvement going forward will come from that division. Net profit. Net profit is definitely the one page that needs to explain a bit better, because you see a contraction from 63 million and 17.5 EPS to 57 million and 15.3 million EPS. Where does that come from? We've done a good job on the financing side, refinanced, did a conservative approach to our acquisitions with a capital increase. So that's not the reason. The reason why we have the contraction is showed on that EPS chart down here. We benefited 2016 from a tax gain. We had to activate, due to IFRS, some losses carry forwards, which we are now depreciating. So 2017 is roughly the tax rate that we expect going forward, and 2016 was inflated tax-wise. So if you adjust that 17.5 EPS of 2016 for normal tax rate, we're getting to roughly 13, and out of that, we increased EPS by 19% to the 15.3 that I mentioned previously. So again, I think not only has EBIT increased, but our financing costs have decreased. We're now at a normal tax rate going forward. Give and take, we expect 18%-20% going forward, and with that, I think we're well placed with the increases we're planning on the EBIT side going forward to benefit from a higher EPS. CapEx, already mentioned the 53 million. Two things I would like to mention here. First of all, over 50% of that, namely 57%, is for innovation expansion. That means less than half of that figure, less than 25 million, is on maintenance. So simply keeping the level we're having so far, we're operating with 20 million-30 million CapEx. The rest is all investment in the future and is fueling our turnover, our profitability in the coming years. Point one. Point two, going forward, 18 and 19 will be influenced by clearly higher capex than we're having here. You remember, for the ones that have been with us in September, we announced with the acquisition of Bakwerk and the refinancing that we'll as well invest roughly 50 million in new production facilities, production lines in Germany and the US. That is the effect that you'll see in 18 and 19. So mentally to that figure, add 20 to 30 million going forward. Putting it all together, we're getting to free cash flow. Here as well, an increase of 13% to 82 million. That free cash flow includes the 20 million coming from the sale of the Naville building, La Praille. So it would be slightly lower without that. That is for two reasons. We, of course, have an increase on the EBITDA, but we benefited last year in the elimination of other non-cash items from positive effects and had this year negative effects, mostly the sale of the book gain on the sale of the building. So that is an effect of 7 million. And the second effect, of course, is on the capex side, where you as well have a delta of 7 million, as just explained. And these two factors explain why the increase of the building is not fully reflected here. But accounting for that, I think, as expected as well on that side, a sound development with a cash flow per share of 24 and therefore almost twice the dividends that we're paying out, which I think as well going forward is exactly what you want to see in terms of financial flexibility. Turning to the balance sheet side of the story, shareholder equity increased by 39%, clearly due to the capital increase we made in conjunction with the acquisition of Bakwerk, but as well some positive translation effects on the currency translation adjustments. That translates in an equity ratio of 52%. If we adjust mentally for the hybrid that will repay and redeem in October of this year, 2018, and replace by cash and debt, we still stand at 44%. And I think that sets us in an ideal basis for the future. We conservatively finance, gives us flexibility, also makes us independent of any shocks or hikes that there could be on the interest side or on the business. Very well financed, and I think it's also shown on the net debt side, despite the acquisition and despite that 44 million increase in debt, the leverage ratio stayed stable at 1.7. And if we include, again, the hybrid and count it as debt, we still stand at 2.5, which is the level where we start feeling comfortable and therefore, as said, a good basis for the future. You all know IFRS 16 will come back to haunt us latest 2019. That will dramatically change the picture on here. The lease obligation will be treated as a liability, will activate the right of use on balance sheet, so the balance sheet will increase, will be much longer, and that will have an effect as well on our EBITDA that will give and take double compared to what we have today. Therefore, also will have an impact on the leverage ratio, which automatically will increase. That has no impact on our covenant with the banks. It's negotiated in such a way that the covenants are adjusted for changes in accounting structure. As well, the financial structure, I've got a very relaxed treasurer sitting in the back here, Remo. We've done a good job over the last couple of years. The only thing that we need to refinance this year is the hybrid bond. For this, we plan to issue probably a Swiss instrument, probably a Swiss bond. Later this year, we placed very successfully, and thanks to the people which are present here from our bank consortium, a Schuldschein Darlehen earlier this year. That, the Schuldschein and probably the bond going forward, will help further improve our financing cost. After that, you see that a big weight is on 2023 or later. most of that is fixed interest rate, and therefore, you know, at least from that side, we really can sleep very sound at night. Lease agreement. We already had such a page in last year. We insist on having it in here again. Again, not only because of IFRS 16, which is the main term on here, but because we depend on the leases to do our businesses. And it's important for us that you understand what is happening here. Most of that is already mentioned. Last point here, 2/3 of the leases are with top 5 landlords, and that includes as well a framework agreement with a Swiss railway operator, the SBB, that will come up for renewal in 2020. And we are, of course, in discussion with SBB to renew that in due course. I'm already coming to my final slide, the guidance, and I will only present the figure part of it. Michael will then explain how he plans to achieve the figures I put on paper here. So I'm the easy way out for me. So very ambitious, but as we always say, ambitious but realistic targets. I like the figure of double-digit growth on the EBIT, 15% give and take, and that's why we've again taken that figure. 79 million 2017, increasing by 14% to 90 million. Nice and round figure, plus minus 3, again, to give some leeway. Like last year, to be transparent, that figure is as well our internal budget. So what we talk externally is also what we talk internally. Now, we've achieved our midterm guidance ahead of time, as already said, thanks to the great set of figures we could present. That's why we've as well established some new midterm goals, which we called here Outlook 2020. We've for the first time included external sales as a guideline as well for the reasons I mentioned earlier. We plan to grow the group, you know, with 2-3% per year in external sales. That translates in a overproportional increase of gross profit, again for the change of mix that I mentioned and explained, 2-4% per year going forward. So an increase compared to what we had previously of 1-3%. Again, with a split below that, where we see an acceleration on the food service side, that should grow by 7-9%. Finally, the GP margin should increase from already good 42% to 45%, earliest 2020. And correspondingly, the EBIT margin should increase from 4% by 1 percentage point, that is an increase of 25% to 5%. 5% in the retail environment increase over the last or the next coming 3 years at the earliest is what we set ourselves as goals. And with that, how we plan to achieve, I'll hand over to Michael. Many thanks.
Thank you, Tobias. Also, a very warm welcome from my side. It's a pleasure to present to you now how we're going to achieve the guidance that Tobias just laid out. For me personally, 2017 was a year I'm very pleased with, and this will lay the foundation for the future development, mainly because besides that, we've been acquiring Bockwerk successfully. We improved also our operational core business to the levels Tobias illustrated, in which also document quite well, on in my view, that we've been working on the right initiatives, and I still see quite some improvement opportunities ahead of me, specifically also in our German business. Main focus on the initiatives was on the Swiss business. Now going forward, we will put more emphasis on the German side. The way I would like to talk you through briefly the initiatives is along our main goals, financial goals that we laid out in the guidance. So starting with GP growth and margin, main focus here is on same store growth and expansion. So we see a lot of opportunities still to improve the margin in the existing stores, specifically in the convenience segment, specifically also in Germany, where we had quite a strong development in the food segment in our convenience store in 2017. And beyond that, more and more we will see that we can leverage the platform that we started to build, the platform across the group. We discussed in previous presentation the Valora retail platform, where we've been focusing on the IT platform, on the integration of the financing teams, but it will go well beyond that in the years to come. We are currently working on a new logistic platform. We will launch a new platform tomorrow here in Switzerland. We will do the same thing in Germany in the coming months and years to further integrate the logistic platform, a logistic that is more and more driven by the demand to deliver fresh products overnight, so ultra fresh to all the stores in our network. And there we will benefit from the broader scale of the businesses we operate in both countries. With Backwerk, we also add quite a substantial opportunity to grow organically our businesses in new locations. We illustrated to you after the acquisition that we see a big opportunity to expand our network outside of railway stations and the airports, specifically in inner city locations. With Backwerk, we will do that or continue to do that in Germany. There are a lot of openings in inner city locations due to the fact that other retailers are rather exiting these locations. But we will see also quite some opportunities in the new markets for Backwerk, new being the Netherlands, but also partly new for Backwerk, Switzerland and Austria. Ultimately, we also have to put quite some emphasis to protect our position in a quite competitive environment. We are committed to the network that we operate. We are more and more coming towards the end of the network optimization. We have seen that in Switzerland, where you saw over the last couple of years net store closures. So we were optimizing the network in Switzerland. We have done a lot of that also in Germany after the acquisition of Convenience Concept. We had to close down quite a few stores in Germany. We come to the end of that trend. We will continue to close store. That's part of what you do as a retailer, that you always reassess the attractiveness of your portfolio. But more and more, we have to protect what we have in specifically in Switzerland, where we are in a very strong position. We want to protect that business in a way that we can then further grow new concept, be it a refreshed AWEC, as we call it, so a new, fresher AWEC, or be it new concepts like Backwerk, which we're going to introduce here in Switzerland. On the EBIT margin level, we discussed last year that there is still a long list of initiatives that are ahead of us: cost initiatives, operational excellence initiatives, where we still see a lot of opportunities to improve the way we operate our business. We worked on that list intensively in 2017, but the list is still quite long, so there is still quite some improvement ahead of us. Actually, we hired now specifically a person, Philipp Angern, who's in the back here, who will help us to work and coordinate all these initiatives across the group, because there is still so much more we can do to improve the operational excellence across all our businesses, which then ultimately will, on top of a positive gross margin development, also improve the cost basis and create also further flexibility in the expansion. Because if you operate a concept and network more effectively, you are also more flexible ultimately to accept a higher rent level or to operate the store at a location where potentially other competitors could not enter because they are operating ultimately these concepts less effectively. On an EPS level, I think Tobias gave you the most relevant details in terms of what's ahead of us on the balance sheet, the hybrid bond refinancing, a hybrid bond instrument that back when we introduced that was had a positive impact on the overall financing cost. These days, it's definitely an expensive instrument for us, and there we will see some benefit by replacing it by a more attractive priced instrument. And secondly, that we will see going forward a more stable development of our tax rates. I think Tobias explained well the reasons in the past why we had a positive impact on our balance or on our P&L last year on the taxes. Going forward, we will see now a more predictable development on that end. In terms of free cash flow, the main initiatives are here that we will continue to grow our network. So as Tobias said, we're always pleased if we manage to spend more on good locations. We've been a little bit more successful this year in 17 in new store openings. We will continue to push our teams to invest in the expansion. We see so much more opportunities in all the existing markets to open new stores, open also new concepts. We will continuously invest in that. We will invest heavily also in new store development. So we will take risks now and then to come up with the new concept, pushing it a little bit to the edge and see how consumers will respond to these new developments. And on top of that, we will invest heavily in our production capacity. We gave you the detail last September, 50 million investment combined in Germany and the US, both operations that have further potential. In Germany, we are operating at the maximum capacity. We rather have struggled to serve the market right now. We've been extremely successful in growing that business. We have to take up now with the national investment to provide our teams also the production capacity so that they can further grow that business. And in the US, as you know, we acquired Pretzel Baron in January last year. We had a very successful first year. We are very pleased with the development. And also there, it's about time to invest now and to continue to develop that market. And this will have quite a substantial impact over the next 2 years on our free cash flow. The world, as we see it, we summarize on page 30 along three lines. We feel very privileged that we operate the retail business in a segment of the market that is benefiting strongly from three macro trends that are specifically for our retail favorable trends, not for all the other retailers. Are these favorable trends specifically if it comes to digitalization? But starting with mobility, we operate the stores where the people are. A lot of other retailers are challenged by the fact that they see lower footfall at their stores, that they have to do more to bring people to their stores. We benefit from the fact that actually more and more people are on the move, and this applies to all the markets that we are currently operating. So you will see increasing traffic at train station. We expect increasing traffic at airport and even on the road, so at gas stations. So over time, I mean, we benefit from the fact that more people are more mobile and ultimately coming across our stores. Secondly, in terms of convenience, the offering, we benefit from a strong trend towards out-of-home consumption. More and more people consume, be it food products, other products on the go. They have much a higher share of impulse purchases of these products. This is also supported by some of the demographic shifts we see and consumer behavior. For example, we have more and more one-person households in all the markets that we operate. Typically, if you're alone at home, you rather prefer to buy your meal on the go or eat on the meal than go shop at the supermarket and cook for yourself. These are all trends which are actually fueling future growth of our business. At the same time, given that trend, you see that consumers are more and more demanding. So you can sell less and less, let's call it average quality food at these locations to these consumers. They have a higher expectation towards food quality, towards also how good the food is for them ultimately. So we see lower levels of sugar consumption, for example. So people are more and more aware what they should eat on the go as they eat more on the go. And we see ourselves as excellently prepared for that challenge, given the food service competence that we have. The feel-good food that we sell at Backwerk, that's exactly addressing that trend. And that competence we have in that business, we can use not only within Backwerk, Dietsch, Brezelkönig, but more and more also with our convenience concepts. And there we lay the foundation now over the last 12 months, specifically here in Switzerland, by working on building up a new logistic platform that will go live tomorrow, that where we will have the ability to deliver ultra-fresh products to most of our stores across the network. And then ultimately, I mentioned already digitalization. Typically, you hear that as a threat to retailers, to traditional retailers. It is a threat for many segments in the retail market, be it textile, be it electronics. It has been quite a significant threat and still is to a small degree also to Valora if it comes to print. We went through the process where we saw heavy deterioration of the print market. We've been exposed to that market, not only in the retail, but also on the wholesale and logistics side. This is behind us. We still have a fair share of print that we sell. It's still an important product for a lot of our locations. But ultimately, the way we see it, digitalization, a digital communication channel with consumer, it becomes more and more an opportunity for us. In two ways, effective communication with consumers, including that we offer them loyalty apps, payment solutions that makes it easier for them to basically shop at our stores. And secondly, that we provide them services, solutions at the store, be it at the checkout, be it services to pick up their parcels and so on, where we ultimately benefit. I'll come to that in a second. Our strategy going forward, consistent with what we communicated already the last 2 years, it's built on four pillars. We will continue to grow our business. So that's the first pillar. And the growth is focusing on the organic growth. We will always look at potential additional acquisition. We have the flexibility on the balance sheet, but all the numbers you see, the guidance we give you, that's pure organic growth that we see ahead of us. We want to expand the business in existing geographies. We will strengthen the new geographies that came to the network, like, for example, the Netherlands, where we see a lot of potential for the food service business ahead of us. Secondly, an important pillar for all the retailers, efficiency. This is a moving target. You never get to the end of that initiative list. While you work on the list, and tick off some of the initiatives. You will add new ones. It's a fundamental effort that every retailer have to be deliver excellent result. Operational excellence is one of the backbones for a retailer to invest in the future, because the more effective you are, the more efficient you are in allocating capital, the more successful you will be in the expansion, because you can take bigger risks and you can get ahead of the curve in the expansion and therefore create a more specific brand and specific experience for consumers. Innovation, I mentioned some of the digitalization initiatives. Again, here, consistent with what we said in the last years, it's loyalty. Loyalty includes the payment solution. It's the service side, where we have a lot of services that are enabled through a digital communication channel. We just announced the collaboration with Swisscom, where you can pick up some of the products at our stores. Ultimately, a very physical experience when you pick up these products, but the processes that support that service are very much enabled by a technology that helps us to ultimately collaborate with consumers, Swisscom customers, and ultimately the Swisscom network. And last but not least, we also discussed that in previous presentations, retail analytics. We made quite some progress last year to get a better understanding how to use existing data, how to source new data, which are relevant for us to understand how we can deliver better results and better experiences for our customers. Culture, fourth pillar. It's an important pillar, specifically if you remind yourself of the chart that Tobias presented. We moved from an own store network to a network that is predominantly operated under agency and franchise. This is a completely different challenge than operating your own store. In your own store, you are your own boss. In a franchise system or agency system, you are a partner with the entrepreneur who runs that store. So you have to invest in services. You have to be better service-minded in terms of how you collaborate with these partners. And that's an important change in our culture. And we work across all the team to become better and better, more and more service-minded every day. On page 32, we illustrate on a group level what has been driving the operational improvements, or one of the main drivers of operational improvements, specifically in terms of our strategic positioning. Looking back to 2011, this is before we acquired the German convenience concept network, that is before we acquired Ditch Bretzelkönig. Comparing now with the situation today, what you see and what we discussed extensively in the last years, print, share of print decreased significantly. So our exposure today in terms of external sales is roughly 12% across the network. It's also about 12% in terms of GP contribution. Second traditional category, tobacco is quite stable, which is also good news in a sense that this market has been declining since 2011 in terms of number of consumers, in terms of numbers of sticks of cigarettes that you sell. But we maintained both more or less a stable external sales contribution, but also a very stable, same GP contribution across the group. And this was very much driven by the fact that, one, we were gaining share in that market, specifically in Germany, where we have a positive like-for-like development in that segment because more and more consumers come to our store for these dedicated products. Secondly, it's fueled by new alternative products that have been introduced over the last years from all the major tobacco companies. And thirdly, and this is partly linked to these new products, an increase of promotional activities of the tobacco companies in our stores, because given a more strict regulatory environment, we benefit from the shelf that we still operate, and we benefit from the fact that we are strong partners for the introduction of new alternative products like the IQOS, the Bloom, and the Glooms here in Switzerland, and specifically in Germany, e-smoke products, so liquid-based products that we are pushing quite strongly in our channels. And then you're left with the food development. And I think this is the most important and probably a slightly simplified story you have to understand about Valora. Coming from these traditional products, we move now into food. It used to be 22%, and this food includes all the sweets, so confectionery, it includes the beverages, warm and cold, and includes the sandwiches and other food products that we sell. From 22, so all the confectionery that you used to buy at the kiosk, we move up now to 35% in terms of external sales, but more importantly, in terms of GP contribution, from 36 to 52. And within that segment, we also have some negative trends. So we lost on confectionery. Sugar is a concern of our consumers. So we saw slightly decreasing contribution from sugar, but we overcompensated that with healthier options and specifically on the beverage side with the warm beverages, so the coffee initiatives and so on. And then ultimately, what's also reflected in here is a quite strong new pillar that we added to the group, the B2B business within our network, that is obviously a contributing food only share in that chart. In terms of key investment and highlights, and I will almost close with that. First of all, we think we have proven over the last years that we are able to develop, to deliver strong gross margin growth in relative absolute terms. At the same time, improving our margins, so EBIT margin in terms of improving our costs. We are well on track with what we presented you today as our midterm guidance. We see still very meaningful upside in our business across all the businesses we operate, across all the geographies we're active in. We are committed to an attractive cash generation and the focus on the return on capital. You have also seen that consistently improving over the last couple of years, and we will continue to do so despite the fact that we will invest now specifically in the production, but also in the network. We're very committed to continue to deliver also on that dimension. And then this ultimately results in a constant and high dividend payout, which is currently at the yield of roughly 4%. We benefit from a very clear strategic positioning. As I explained, we feel very fortunate with the positioning we have in the market. We will see, we see the trends affecting that market as being positive for us. We are the market leaders in the markets we operate. In Germany, we said clearly after the Backwerk acquisition, we're now the number one in Germany in the snacking market. We're definitely the market leader here in Switzerland if it comes to convenience only. Because we focus on convenience and food service only, it's also all our effort, all our strengths goes into these formats, where a lot of our competitors that start to enter or have entered years ago that market the share of that business is still fairly small. So if you look at the total attention these groups get, the convenience side, despite the fact that they develop meaningful businesses in relative terms, still small. Convenience, food service, that's all we do. And we see more and more of these markets also merging. So we talk about foodvenience, and we also benefit from that trend that we can then take best of both sides to combine and develop new concepts. Concept refreshments, if it comes to the initiatives, that's what you will see a lot from us over the next couple of months. Here in Switzerland, you will see more of what we started in Germany, and you will see quite substantial changes in what we will be able to deliver to our customers across our network. I mentioned this fresh logistic that we'll launch tomorrow. That's only one element. It's not the catch-all solution for everything, but it's an important element, and we will continue to invest in these type of initiatives. And on that basis, I think we will be able to defend the market position we have and to continue to expand with new concepts in these markets. In terms of next events, and with that, I then want to open up the Q&A. Friday, April 13th, we have our AGM in Basel. The dividend proposed by the Board of Directors will be 12.50, as we had in previous years. It will be paid out from capital reserves. Since we acquired now Bockwerk, we will increase the capital reserves again. So also for the years ahead, we will have the opportunity to pay out dividends from capital reserves. In terms of Board of Directors, we announced already that Bernhard Häusler will not stand for re-election for the Board of Directors. All the other board members will stand for re-election at the AGM. And in terms of authorized capital, also that we come back every second year with that request. This time we ask for an authorized capital of roughly 10% of total capital, so 400,000 Swiss francs in nominal capital to maintain flexibility for future acquisitions, potential acquisitions. And half-year results will be published on July 25th. Good. With that, I would like to open up the Q&A.
Otherwise, we also have some questions to start. Icebreaker from the webcast. And I think already taking that first question on the webcast was on inflation. If we're seeing inflation in Germany, and what is the effect? To already answer that, yes, we do see inflation. We also have basically full employment in Germany. That has some effect on our construction that gets more expensive. For example, we're handling that. However, we're convinced that rising inflation in Germany is very positive for us. Germany has been one of the only countries in the world where minimum wage increases have been a net negative for retailers, because nobody increased their selling prices. So you had higher cost, but no pass-through to the end customer. We believe we are now at the stage where we start to see that mechanism starting to work like in the US. And therefore, we believe that with a rising inflation will benefit over proportionally compared to what we've seen in the past from a positive impact on our bottom line. That has given you some time to reflect on questions. Is a question in the room here?
Yeah.
Sorry, micro is over here. Felix, sorry. Yeah. take yours next.
The two questions, if I may, on the 2018 guidance, the 90 million. I mean, if I take your indications about Bockwerk, then I get to 10 million EBIT. So adding that to the 79 million, then you're already pretty much there without any underlying improvement. What do I miss here? Are there any extra costs related to the production expansion in Ditch or labor cost inflation hurting your margins? Anything more granularity on that one? And on retail Germany, I always had the feeling that there's still a lot room for improvement. The network there, you can see more improvement. Is that still the case that you see more upside on the EBIT side in retail Germany?
Yeah, I'll maybe start with Backwerk and up to you or me. Let's see who reflects on Germany. Backwerk, and that is an important point, which I might have stressed a bit stronger before, has been an acquisition, again, consisting mainly of intangible and goodwill. The goodwill part is fixed. However, we also recognized quite an important part of intangible, and that is shades of gray, how much you allocate to intangibles and how much to goodwill. I think we've taken a balanced approach. We have almost 60 million Swiss francs in intangibles. These need to be amortized over roughly 10 years. So you have a negative D and especially A effect, so amortization of that goodwill of between 5 and almost 6 million Swiss francs per year. On the cash flow, Backwerk flows directly through and is highly positive. So out of the guidance we've given, the 79-11 million increase, more than half of it is organic development, and only the remainder is stemming from Backwerk due to the mentioned amortization. Follow on question, or shall I answer retail Germany?
With the 6 million amortization charges, I get to 10 million additional EBIT. So you said 55 million euros at 26% EBITA margin. And if I, subtract the 6 million amortization charges and take that into Swiss francs, then I don't know, maybe I did a mistake.
Yeah, maybe we need to look at that. Based from that, a nice increase in Backwerk from 1 year to the other. So compared to the 2017 or 16 figure we mentioned, there is, of course, an operational improvement. There's no hidden or negative surprises whatsoever coming from Backwerk. Quite okay. The opposite.
Okay.
On retail Germany, we've seen a stable EBIT development, that is true. However, we've seen GP and top line developing nicely, and I think that lays the ground for further improvement. What local management has been somehow surprised is the press development that was quite negative. We've expected that on the group, having made the experiences in Switzerland and prepared and accounted for that. So we believe that with that change, we're doing exactly the same in Germany than we've done in Switzerland, replacing it with food, with services, non-food products, etc. And with that, profitability of Germany should increase also because we're gaining on the critical mass side. On top, I as well believe that a lot of the negative effects have been factored in and therefore we should benefit. Maybe one note of caution, we're introducing SAP. We're also, as we have a higher GP share, they as well bearing some more overhead costs. But overall, we're convinced that with the initiatives we laid, the e-smoke initiative, the efficiency initiatives, we should see a very nice development of retail Germany this year. Yeah.
I have a question regarding free cash flow. Free cash flow before M&A was at 82 this year, 73 last year, and you've already mentioned you expect a significant impact over the next 2 years. Can you just quantify that a little bit more? Where do you see free cash flow coming in over the next 2 years?
So compared to the, let's decompose it a bit. EBIT, I think it's all clear. The main difference is stemming from the CapEx. CapEx should also from the normal 53 level slightly increase to somewhere around 60 already due to Backwerk, which invest themselves in the POS of the franchisee. However, out of that 60, you add these 50 million investment in production split over 2 years. So somewhere between 20 and 30 million additional capex will hit us in 2018 and the remainder of that in 2019. So you add from the 60, 20 to 30, you're between 80 and 90, and that's the main effects. All the other ones, be it networking capital, maybe again, of course, a slight increase due to higher POS, also more production. You, however, should see an easing from the non-cash effects, as explained, which should balance that slightly. Positive effect on the EBITDA. So the main impact on free cash flow, which I mentioned, is really due to the CapEx increase, which then again normalizes down to roughly these levels in 2019, but from a much higher profitability base, therefore fully being reflected then as of 2020 in the free cash flow.
Just a follow-up on leverage. You stick to the below 2.5 times leverage also going forward.
Yeah. We'll see end of this year, of course, a level which is hovering around that, maybe slightly higher, maybe slightly lower because of the refinancing of the hybrid. But if you believe our guidance, that should reduce very nicely over the coming years and leverage down to or below that over the coming years.
So we are currently at 2.5, including hybrid.
Could you give us an update a little bit on the expansion plans? On one hand, Bretzelkönig in France and in Austria. I think you have the new situation with SSP, but also with Ditch, perhaps in Germany, and also how goes on with Backwerk, Switzerland, Netherlands, and all these places.
Mm-hmm. Maybe starting with Bretzelkönig International. First of all, we announced that we have this partnership with SSP in Austria now. This was a very important first step to work with a provider of a system or a institutional franchisee, as we call that, that has the opportunity to operate more than one store and probably take that concept also to other countries. This is kind of the asset test for Bretzelkönig as a franchise concept. You can blame us that it takes us so long to get to that agreement or that we waited for that asset test. We were very reluctant to hand out further single franchise locations. So we waited for that asset test. At the same time, we were reluctant to open up new own stores, both in Austria and in France. We actually opened in Austria two stores at very good locations. One is a combination with a PMP in Vienna, which has been proven to be very successful. But the main focus was on signing an agreement with an institutional franchisee, and we will take it from there. Does this delay our initial plan? A clear yes. Does it have an impact on EBIT? Almost a no. In terms of order of magnitude, what was ahead of us, we didn't expect a strong contributions in the years ahead. It was more important to have a very clean strategic way how to operate that business going forward. Now I jump now to Backwerk. With Backwerk, quite clearly, we are very well on track in terms of expansion in Germany. There are a lot of openings in inner city locations due to the fact that you see closures of all the retailers, that you have telecom operators who close down their shops in inner city locations. So you rather have quite some flexibility there. We test there also to expand a little bit the shop size. So we will put in more seating areas, for example. We'll open now one of the largest store that Backwerk ever opened to test that concept. And in Austria and the Netherlands, obviously, given the presence and the strong growth that Bachweb delivered, we have also new opportunities now with Brezel König. So already in the due diligence phase, when we discussed with the team these opportunities, they were very excited, the local managers, to get the new concept on board that they can then use to further expand and grow their business in the respective country. We have not taken such a decision in the Netherlands. Quite clearly, in Austria, we start to work with the teams. And this is the biggest difference between Bachwerk and us, the way we approach these new geographies. They have local teams, they have strong local teams on the ground in the Netherlands and Austria, and we will benefit from that. But we have not given any guidance, and you don't see any of that effect in the guidance, whether that will substantially contribute to the growth of Brezel König International in these countries. Last but not least, Bachwerk, clear ambition to bring it to Switzerland. This is a wide space, a wide spot for them on our Valora map. So you will see quite some activity around that in the coming months. We have already two locations, as you know, here in Switzerland, and we also said very openly that we're not happy with these locations. There's a long history attached to that, but it has hardly anything to do with what we do in Bachwerk in Germany, and the easiest thing to do is now obviously to refurbish these stores and then on that basis to multiply it in Switzerland. And there we are very optimistic, and also with our main partners on the landlord side, we have very positive first indications. Now, Ditch, you ask regarding rollout in Germany. You have seen that, or probably seen that, Ditch had a good year in terms of same store growth. So the concept is successful. We will also further grow the network. We more and more get to the position where we have slightly same similar challenge as with Brezel König in Switzerland. There are fewer and fewer white spots. The biggest white spot, and I think we shared that with you as well, is still Bavaria. So this will be in the homeland of the pretzels. We hardly sell any pretzels. But there's a good reason for that. It's so competitive in Bavaria to sell pretzels. So far, we didn't enter that market. We entered it very selectively. Beyond that, I think more and more we get to the limit. But also now with Bachwerk, we see new combinations, and becomes more and more one of our strengths. We are just in one tender process at one of the larger airports in Germany, where we see it as a clear strength that they have a portfolio of stores that they put into the tender, and we are one of the few that can actually address the different locations with different concepts. And this becomes more and more a strength, and there I see further opportunities also for Ditch in the combination with the other stores. Does this answer your question? Thank you. Yes, please. Do you have a microphone? Yeah.
Coming. Just a little bit additional question to the question before. Probably you can also a little bit elaborate what you do in France with Brezel König. And then I would be interested to hear a little bit your mid or long-term view or guidance with Brezel Baron on the West Coast in the US. So where you wanted to be at the West Coast, let's say, I don't know, in 3 to 5 years in terms of revenues and market size.
In terms of, we have not specifically given any guidance on Brezel Baron. What we always said, the U.S. is the largest pretzel market outside of Germany. That is almost at the same size as Germany. I mean, pretzel consumption per capita is significantly lower, but there are more people living in the U.S. And so it's an attractive and a very fairly open market. So there's one player who sells pretzels. We would not call it pretzel what he sells, but it comes in a pretzel shape. And he's the market leader. And besides that, the market is fairly open and fragmented. And now with us entering, and specifically now with the investment in the production capacity, we got very strong reactions from the market that they see that there is a one of the leading pretzels manufacturing now very seriously entering the US. And now to guess where we end up with, I mean, all we say, I think what we guided in the past is ultimately we invest now these roughly half of the 50 million in the US, and you will see on that basis now a ROCE that is definitely accretive to the overall food service business. And I think on back of that, you can guess that there will come a contribution. But does it move the needle for the group? Maybe not, at least not in the short term. Does it move the needle for the development of our B2B business? Clearly, yes, because we have a strong U.S. Business that where we deliver the pretzels out of Germany, we can finally produce the pretzels in the U.S. This help definitely improves margin because we get rid of the logisticals between Germany and the U.S. And also, secondly, it improves our position in the U.S. because more and more U.S. consumers are in favor of local product or at least made in USA products also on the food side.
Maybe to add that, we Pretzel Baron is really only a B2B concept. And the B2B for us is not a country market, but it's a global market. We have an output of 650 million pieces per year. We shift then from Germany to the U.S., but likewise, we can, of course, send from the U.S. to Japan, where we're exporting to today out of Germany. So it doesn't really matter. So we also could plan going forward having other production facilities. So that's why, probably we won't see figures on Pretzel Baron separate, but you need to look at the development of the B2B in total. And there you've seen the development we produced over the past. We, again, despite being full, despite having changed lines, we almost again had 4% top-line development with the new capacity that we added and will add. That is a very sound basis for future growth.
And then maybe to the second part, or was the first part of your question, on page 11, I think... It at least partly answers your question in terms of the development of the food service concepts. There you have the same store growth. Overall, you see food service growing on a net revenue basis in local currency, which is important because majority is outside of the Swiss franc, at 9.2%. And then even more importantly, the B2C business, so Bretzelkönig at 2.9%. Same store growth in a very competitive market here in Switzerland. Also a market that leaves you little opportunities in terms of price improvements, at least in the short term. What we have seen that our increased prices to a level at par. Now we can always increase quality, ultimately pricing, but it's quite competitive. And to realize 2.9 same store, I think it speaks for itself. It's still a very strong concept. But having said that, we invested now in a new concept. So you will see in Basel, we introduced the first store where quite a significant store refurbishment where we're seeing the customer experience will be improved, and we continuously to invest in the development of new food products that you will find at the Bretzelkönig to adapt changes in the consumer trend. But to me, I was extremely pleased with the development at Bretzelkönig this year. With Ditch, you see also positive same store growth. Also there, market extremely competitive in many locations. And as Tobias answered as part of the first question regarding inflation, you have not seen any price increases. It is definitely an exception that you increase minimum wages, you have an economy booming, and nothing happens to food pricing. If you look at some of the benchmarks in Europe, for example, in the UK, if I remember correctly, it was above 3% food price inflation last year. We definitely see it in the US, where in every state where minimum wages are increased, you see very strong same-store developments of all these concepts. And a lot of that is price increases. You have seen none of that in the German market, or hardly anything of that in the German market. And then to realize a positive same-store, I think also makes the point that we are very pleased and optimistic in how we continuously also develop the Ditch format. So it's not a question of consumer behavior, acceptance of these formats in the market, if it comes to limitations of growth, in my view, but it's rather availability of locations that fit the Ditch concept. And Ditch is a concept that works best at high-frequency locations, and our penetration rate is already fairly high. What's the question?
So I've got a question on the midterm guidance. So now you achieved 4% EBIT margin with a 42% growth profit margin. Then if you manage to reach 45%, isn't it 5% EBIT margin too conservative?
No, otherwise we would have, of course, said another figure. Yeah. Maybe that is also part of the answer will also interest you. I think what we are doing in parallel is building up as well infrastructure for the future. So we are right now investing. Not to mention somebody specifically, but we invest in somebody like Philip and a staff, etc., in order to increase the speed on which we translate. That, of course, comes with as well a certain cost. We Roberto Fedele on the IT side, sitting next to him here as well, very cost conscious, but we pushed him, the two of us, actually to accelerate the change. And that comes as well with certain investments. And maybe that is what makes me very positive. If I look at in our internal drivers of how we achieve the guidance, you know, we split it internally in expansion, same, so, etc. You see a net negative contributor coming from cost. So we're building up certain costs. Not because we like it or because we work less and go playing golf, but because we believe we are adding multipliers into the business that will accelerate the growth and will pay back even beyond that and clearly beyond that to a higher profitability and cash flow. And what makes me positive is that in case anything doesn't play out the way we want, there's no factored in cost measures into that guidance. So there's no, we're talking about efficiency improvement. Yes, you know, we achieved that, but we haven't any cost-cutting plan, any efficiency gains, etc., factored in. But clearly the goal is that Philip and his team midterm are not only self-sufficient, but contribute positively to the guidance. That maybe helps as well to explain part of that. There's also certain effects, of course, having a higher GP also comes with higher costs on the rental, on the personnel, etc., which also explain that figure and make it coming from that base harder to make that 25% increase. So it's not, cannot be translated one-to-one. Mm.
I would have a problem to accept a common saying 5% is conservative for a retailer. I think you have it to see it a little bit in the light where we are coming from. I mean, if we would have guided 4%+ for the Swiss business, I mean, we would definitely got some questions a couple of years ago. I think Tobias was to the point answering the questions. What we do now, we invest in the future. And with investing in the future, we build in also some extra costs in the shorter term. I illustrated that efficiency is always an important pillar of our strategy. So we will not spend money foolishly, but we will spend money dedicated on initiatives that will help us to address even better going forward consumer demands. And ultimately, we also anticipate that the competitive environment is not easing, but rather becoming a little bit more severe. And we are definitely extremely well prepared now on the basis of the results we presented today. But probably we are cautious in terms of anticipated what kind of steps we take ahead of us and what kind of investments we will make, both on the CapEx and OpEx side.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yes.
Follow up on the Bretzel Koenig International. It was communicated this new store with the SSP. So when are we going to hear more? So to get an update, whether they are going to open more stores, do you have could you communicate a timeline or not yet?
We did. No, I think. We communicated what we think is the opportunity last year with the 100 store. We attached a timeline to it. I say today very clearly, this was ambitious and we are behind schedule, full stop, right? In France, I would not attach a timeline on the expansion. And again, I think Tobias called it a free option in the past, right? So this has no impact on the guidance. It has, in the shorter term, let's call it three-year midterm outlook, it has no impact on P&L or hardly any impact on P&L. So we are ambitious in terms of growing that business, but we are at the same time very cautious. And we have been distracted, to be completely fair, by Backwerk, right? Because this was short-term the bigger opportunity than to push the other business. And now we have white spot in the Netherlands with a fantastic team, eager to get more pretzels to the country. And we have a fantastic team in Austria. We're already present. We have proven that the concept works. We also have proven that the concept does not work at certain locations. So, for example, shopping centers is a challenge in Austria, not so much because of our products, but more because the Austrians are not used to eat and specifically drink coffee while they move. This is not an Austrian thing. So you have to put these locations at a place where they can move to the train and sit down and then eat, right? So these are the learnings from Austria, but now we have an excellent team there and they will definitely help us to develop that business. But I would not attach a timeline to it. And SSP, as I said, is an acid test, whether it works with institutional investor. First results are very promising. But also there, we will see where the journey will take us. So we took a little bit the focus away from Bretzel Koenig International, and we're more focusing on the Backwerk opportunity.
Good. Probably we slowly but surely should come to an end. If I look on the clock, is there any last burning question? If not, we'll hand over to Franz for closing remarks.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I had the honor to open this conference. I have the honor to close it by saying thank you for joining us. Thank you for your continued support. And as you heard several times, what we have achieved the last few years builds a solid base to continue this positive development, to continue to grow. And our new midterm guidance, which was debated a little bit, reflects this ambition. Thank you, and we'll see you soon again. Goodbye.